This meeting of the Board of Environmental Protection is being held by video conference via Zoom on November 19th, 2020, beginning at 9 a.m. And the next item on our agenda is Nordic Aquafarms, and I will be turning the podium over to Mr. DeShane, the presiding officer for this matter.
Thank you. Everybody buckle your seatbelts. Today, the board is considering proposed board orders for each of Nordic's applications. Before beginning our deliberations, each of the parties has been allotted 5 minutes for a closing argument. Please keep in mind that the record is closed, and so no references to new evidence or evidence outside of the record will be allowed. There'll be no questions and no rebuttal. I will start with Upstream Watch. Mr. Losey, I'm looking for you to see if you are available. Welcome.
I am, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to talk with you briefly this morning. We have 2 points to make. The first is with regard to the application requirements. An application requirement is not the same thing as a permit condition. An application requirement precedes the issuance of a permit, and its absence precludes the issuance of a permit. The latter follows the issuance of a permit and ensures the permit's proper and effective use. They're not the same, and they're not interchangeable. In order to be awarded a permit, every applicant must demonstrate in its application that it meets the application requirements or criteria. This demonstration is a mandatory precedent to the issuance of a permit. The courts have supported this view. The Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit expressed it well. When a government body grants a license, it is an adjudication that the applicant has satisfactorily complied with the prescribed standards for an award of that license. Not that they've agreed to or promised to, they have satisfactorily complied. Similarly, the denial of a license is based on an adjudication that the applicant has not satisfied those qualifications and requirements. Not next week or 2 years from now, now. There's an exception in Maine, the Belgrade Shores case, which says for minor, easily corrected matters, we need not be all that strict. But that's not what we're talking about here when we're talking about things like the dye test and other things, which I won't go into because they could get into permit specific requirements. These are not minor, easily corrected. And yet, staff proposes to allow compliance with application requirements by after the fact permit conditions. That is as illogical as it is illegal. When an application calls for a demonstration that certain environmental criteria will not be exceeded by operation of the proposed facility, it must demonstrate that as part of the application. An applicant may not just show, for example, modeling without verification in the field to demonstrate that they've met the criteria. It is unlawful and useless to allow an application, to allow an applicant to satisfy the application criteria after the facility is completed. In this case, after the forests and the wetlands and the habitat have been destroyed. To determine whether, with that after the fact testing, the applicant was telling you the truth from the beginning. It's too late. Worse, bigger problem, goes well beyond Nordic. If DEP staff is allowed to recommend waiving compliance with application criteria in favor of permit conditions on an after-the-fact basis, what are the criteria for making that decision? What guides the DEP staff to say, well, this criteria we can push off into the future, but this other one we can't? What criteria, published criteria, that the public can have confidence in guides the staff in saying, we can do this for this applicant, but we can't do it for that applicant? That is a slippery slope on which the state of Maine should not choose to set foot. on a similar subject a number of times over the last several months. You've asked questions of Nordic. Good questions. Usually, but not always, you received answers. Almost always you received responses. But did those responses answer your questions? Or were the responses non-responsive piles of paperwork from Ransom that didn't answer your questions? I ask you to go back and look. Look at your questions, think about what you were asking, and ask yourself if all that paperwork that came in actually answered your questions. You are entitled to proper answers to your questions. Finally, I need to respond to the remarks of the presiding officer at your last meeting. It wasn't something that Upstream wanted to discuss, but Mr. Duchesne said that he was concerned because he sensed that several members of the public, interveners, or interested parties feared that permit approval was a foregone conclusion. He would caution us that BEP has no predetermined outcome and that members don't even talk to each other about this and haven't. As they say, Upstream would prefer not to even get into this issue, but since it is raised, we're in an awkward position. If we say nothing, we are acquiescing in the veracity of what the chairman has said. Let me make it clear. At this point, Upstream Watch has no reason to believe that BEP or any of its members have predetermined anything or are in any way biased. But why did Mr. Duchesne make that comment? Well, I believe it was October 3rd. We woke up in the morning and found our morning paper told us that Nordic had said they got their permits and they're getting ready to start. How do you think that made us feel when we thought a process was still going on? There are the obvious issues that we briefed, the air emission sources outside of the generators, financial capacity arguments. We briefed these things, and yet it appears that staff ignored everything that we said. We're really not all that stupid, and our witnesses aren't that bad to be totally ignored. Consider May 20th, Mr. Wood's presentation to you about the dilution ratios. Without getting into whether 300 to 1 or 530 to 1 is the correct ratio, consider what happened. The record closed in February. A call was made from Nordic to DEP in May, following which a change was made. We are told a recalculation, and a significant part of that application changed. We asked that same day, send an email, show us your calculations, show your work. Never responded to. We later asked in writing, and I mean later, the next few days, we asked whether when the call was made, who performed the recalculations, who helped, were the superiors at DEP informed, who from Nordic called them, what the caller said and asked them to do, when the call came in, who else from DEP was involved. Never received a response. Wouldn't that make you feel nervous? You know, you can say that that's a recalculation, that it's not testimony, but when you change the theory, a theory which had come in under oath and been tested by cross-examination, you change it to something which has no test, no cross-examination. You're accepting testimony after the record is closed. You can call it whatever you want, but that's what it is. And as
if I may just interrupt, Mr. Losia, I'm going to be lenient with time at all. I believe you've probably gone 7 out of your 5 minutes so far, and I'm willing to let this go on a little longer. I just want to have some concept of when you might be wrapping up.
Mr. Duchesne, I can understand from your grace in handling this entire matter why you were the dean. Would you call yourself the legend of radio? That was our concluding point. And I thank all of you for the opportunity to speak with you this morning. I'm pleased to say that I'm able to do so at last as a member of the Maine Bar. I was held out for 18 months after passing the exam and submitting my credentials. I expected to represent the board, the Epstein, before your board at the hearings. I was precluded from doing so. I was never given a reason. I still don't know the reason, but someday I will. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.